Ladies and gentlemen, welcome once again to the Student of the Game. I'm Kyle Nash, the Student of the Game, and here with me in studio, there's no conflict. We got everybody back in the game here right again. Of course, everybody's favorite outside the lines, man, Stephen Weasel Hurley. Weasel Weasel!
Yeah, boy!
That's what I'm talking about. And back from saving the world where he can, or at least taking him to magical places throughout Florida, Chris Rankin, back. Dude. It's awesome to actually have you here and not be limited by phones and silliness and you pushing wrong buttons and
you pushing wrong buttons and hanging up and
hey, look, it was only 5 minutes that we really lost. Okay, we got Brandon Howard in, which was a fantastic time, and that's all that's really.
You're like, that's it. We had enough. We're ending it now.
Howard,
that's it. Done.
Brandon Howard was so great, and I'm spent. You know, but great stuff from him all the way around. I'm sure. We'll have him and others back to talk draft on the show here very shortly. But, you know, something I want to jump to, we didn't really get an opportunity to talk with you about this, Chris, but a lot of hype surrounding the whole underrated sports movie thing we played around with last week. I mean, hey, look, at this time of year, people are always trying to fill space and the movie discussions come up. But nobody really posed it the way Eric Kusilius did in last week's, his show last Monday morning. The most underrated sports movie, not the best, just the one that doesn't get the credit that it deserves for being a sports movie. Need to hear your take, man. We got a few minutes.
Let's just go over with you guys what you guys pick first, so I can see.
So we were talking. I was talking Miracle.
Okay.
That or The Replacements, of course, because we all know how I feel about The Replacements. And I really live in the world where if you don't say Rudy, which is probably the most overrated sports movie, you and I can still be friends. Weasel, I forgot what you had. Did you say?
I think one of them was like the Pete Maravich story.
Yeah, you did mention
and,
Pistol.
I forgot what the other ones were, but they were more ones like
we got it
The Replacements.
True.
You got a...
Miracle is hard for me. It's hard to beat with that, too. I mean, that's Oscar-caliber stuff that didn't get a reward. It's the biggest ripoff since Wilson the Volleyball and Castaway. But, Chris, what do you got?
I'm going with, off the football subject, I'm going to go with Victory.
Victory?
And, yeah, soccer movie with Sylvester Stallone, Escape from Victory. Talk about the Germans when they're prisoners in Nazi camp. And then they played soccer, had Pele in it. Sylvester Stallone is the goalkeeper.
I've never even heard of that.
Oh, really? See, that's why I said I threw it out there. That's why it's so underrated, because not a lot of people know about it. It's a good movie.
Okay. You know what? I'm writing Victory down right now. See, ironically, the movie's named Victory, but for bringing up that movie, Chris wins. See what I did there? Right? No, I never even heard of that. Okay. Yeah. All right, we'll drop that right there.
It's a pretty good movie. Another fine other one is Slapshot.
Slapshot, yeah. I mean, that's a little bit more old school.
Both of them are kind of old school too. So.
Well, right. I mean, we're talking Pele. I mean, you know, that's the 70s when mommies and daddies were born. You know, at least that's the official word I get now in this house with my daughter. But anyways, Victory. Okay, hey, write that down. Chris says go check it out.
Yeah, that's a good movie.
That's some Joe Bob Briggs smack right there for those of you who know that was. I doubt many people do, so we're going to move the hell on. But the important things going on today, specifically at 4 o'clock here this March 2nd, 2015, the deadline for the tags came up. What do you mean the tags, Cam? It's just a franchise tag. No. We have a rare instance of the transition tag popping up once again, used last year as well, now coming up used this year for, I don't know if you call him an H-back or a tight end or what, I'm just going to call him all-around underrated badass Charles Clay. Wait a minute. Guys who catch passes with the Dolphins who are underrated, stop me if you've heard this before. Yeah, that's a Wes Welker joke for those who didn't get it. Anyways, Wes the Secret Weapon Welker was a good nickname until the Patriots had to go screw it up and get him discovered. But I digress. Charles Clay gets the franchise tag. A lot of stuff going on with the Dolphins in general, with Brian Hartline Brian Hartline and Gibson both being cut from the receiver core. And they're talking about they're working with Tannehill for $100 million contract. Gentlemen, give me some weigh-in on this. I mean, what? I get not going with Hartline. I find him kind of overrated myself, and I'm sure there's There's Dolphin fans screaming at their computers and various mobile devices listening to us here on NGSC Sports. But I think getting rid of Hartline is the correct move for the money he would command. And who knows? Maybe another bit of youth. If they manage to retain Wallace, which, I mean, with that number, we'll see. But that and Charles Clay, very interesting concept. They reapply that money to give a little bit of better protection to Tannehill, which they're in the process of doing, which better protection last year helped Tannehill. I don't know. I'm kind of digging it. I think it's the right move myself. I mean, Chris?
Cutting Hartline and everything?
Well, any of the whole situation.
Yeah, I can see it. Well, I mean, with the cutting of Gibson and Hartline, they had can't think of the rookie's name, the receiver that came up strong for the Dolphins.
Jarvis Landry.
Yeah, he was all over the place there.
Yeah, that's true.
And so, I mean, you got him, and even if they do keep Mike Wallace, they might be pushing to try to get another receiver in the draft here.
I've heard worse ideas.
There's a few receivers coming out there.
Yeah, I'm with that. I don't know.
So, I mean, Brian Hartline actually. Yeah, I think actually Landry was the leading receiver for Dolphins last year. But, I mean, the year before, the last two, three years before that, I think it was Hartline.
Yeah, well, and because Wallace and Tannehill were having trouble in their chemistry, whether it's, you know, because of protection and the inability for Wallace to get down the field.
Yeah, it was just, all right, you got speed, go long. Everyone's like, all right, I'll just cover deep.
And then, you know, if he doesn't have time to get deep before Tannehill's running for his life, oh, look, there's Hartline across the field. Bam! You know.
And what the Dolphins did last year to help improve that offensive line is what I said for the last few years is they moved Pouncey to guard.
Yeah.
Took him out of center, moved him to guard, his more natural position.
This is true. I remember you talking about this with a friend of the show, Twan Staley, when he was coming to us from Dolphins camp. Last year. So, no, that's definitely familiar. You're saying that, absolutely. I still think they're working on that tackle spot. But they're looking promising. I'm not saying they're bad. They just could get better. I don't know. Maybe it's just a matter of the experience improving them overall. So, yeah, let's go ahead and transition, though. Transition from the transition to the franchise. I didn't think you had anything there, Weasel. So, I'm just, yeah, Weasel's
you're
like,
good.
Boom.
He covered it.
I know that. I just knew you were. He was like, whatever, Charles Clay. But no.
He covered it.
I did. Thank you, sir.
He's like, we already spent 3 minutes too long on the Dolphins.
Keep in mind the guy with the cardboard that used to have the cardboard Rex Ryan here next to him with the Jets outfit. That's where you're getting that from, folks. I'm just letting you know. Just telling you that's the case. But anyways. So, Wizzle and I talked a bit last week about Justin Houston and how we think he's a better long-term investment. But Justin Houston, after getting 22.5 sacks, tying the single-season record last year, he is franchised by the Kansas City Chiefs. Now, Wizzle, let me get a weigh-in from you on this because we did talk a bit about the concept of Houston long-term, whether they should franchise him. He is franchised. I don't know. Give me a thought on the move.
Well, I think it's kind of like you. He's had some very successful seasons. The past one.
The past two, the guy
had, you know, 22 sacks.
Right.
And I believe, what was it, like 2 years ago? I think it was like 13 or so.
And he missed a few games with injury, too, last year. Two years ago, rather, I think. So
it's respectable, but I think his production, you know, is you could see it. But when you're, I think he's about 26 years old.
Right.
And I think maybe they just want to see more out of him. Like one more thing before they, like, give him that huge contract.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, and we touched on that a bit, too. Another factor you got to think about here, too, is if – here's the thing. How much is J.J. Watt's contract worth overall? Off the top of your head, guys, you should know this.
It's over 100 mil.
100 mil. Boom. Thank you. A little bit over. I think you're right, Weasel, but we'll go with 100 million.
It's like 105.
Yeah, for giggles, we'll go with 100 million. There is no candy bar called 105K. It just doesn't work that way.
Yet.
Candy. Oh, good point, Weasel. But J.J. Watt's new candy. I don't see J.J. Watt can't advertise a candy bar. He's too freaking healthy. It just seems wrong. Right?
I mean, healthy.
What? You think he's a flabby loser? Is that what you say, Weasel? No, anyway. Why did Hans and Franz smack? Boom. That's your fault.
I believe. As I was going to say, I was just trying to think of a slogan for the candy bar for J.J. Watt or something. Something that'll smack you and still get you to score.
Wow. Wow. I would make a joke about Trojan here, but this is a family show. Anyways, goodness gracious. How do you see? Now the show's completely car wreck. The car wreck just happened because you did that. I'm just, anyways. Right. Justin Houston. Let's put it this way. With all the big contracts for pass rushers out there that they're commanding, I like this move by the Chiefs, and let me tell you why. Because it locks down other teams from getting into the discussion. Because the key difference between the transition tags, other than the top five in salary at the position versus the top 10, is two first-round draft picks require compensation to fit too. So it's essentially like the player can't be touched because, you know, look, Justin Houston's good. Who's going to give up that much money for the guy and two first-round draft picks? It's not going to happen. So
it's still, I mean, that it's not out of the question for, you know, because it's not like he's like 30 or anything. He can.
Correct.
He may have some, like, you know, extra years with him. So.
Well, here's what I'm saying is during this year, there's just because he's been franchised doesn't mean a long-term deal's off the table, right? Mm-hmm. It only means that the Chiefs are negotiating just with him and not other teams, right? Because if he's out on the free agent market, he tests that. They're pretty much assuring that the number they're going to give him in the franchise tag is no better for a single season than what he'd get. I'm assuming. Of course, you got to do with 22 and a half sacks. Is it really shocking? 22 and a half sacks at age 26. Is it really shocking that he could be one of the top five highest paid guys at the position? I don't think it is. Not necessarily at all. I don't know. But, yeah, I mean, you got Tom Bahali, he's 31. The rest of that defense is pretty good. But pretty soon that anchor is going to be Justin Houston and Dontari Poe at the defensive tackle spot. I'm just saying, that's where I'm at. I don't know. Let's move on to the next one, guys. This one is a lot less of a surprise in my mind. Demaryius Thomas being franchise tagged by the Broncos. It really kind of came down to either tagging Julius Thomas or Demaryius Thomas. Either way, I'm fairly certain a Thomas was going to get tagged. So this lends evidence that Julius Thomas is going to be up for a new deal. Whether it's in Denver or not is the question. Chris, let me throw this to you first. Julius Thomas, what is his best landing spot? Staying with the Broncos, going elsewhere, what do you got?
For him, I'd say staying with the Broncos. Try to get a contract work out. I mean, you still got one more year of Peyton Manning going there. Peyton Manning's, yeah, he's, you know, restructuring his contract so they can try to get keep these players and everything. I guess they can try to make a Super Bowl run. So his best bet would be to stay because, I mean, it's always greener on the other side all the time. But you see a lot of. A lot of careers go downhill once they leave the teams.
Was it Jabril Wilson, former Giants defensive back, who left after the first Super Bowl and then kind of disappeared off the face of the planet in Oakland? I believe that was the guy's name.
Yeah, him. And then also you got to look at even further back, look at Dexter Jackson.
I was going
to
do that
too.
Left
the Bucks, and you know, he went to Arizona and didn't do anything, and came back to the Bucks.
Not that the Broncos are a Super Bowl winning team, but just a couple of examples. Weasley, you were about to say something.
Yeah, something. So for the first 2 years for Julius Thomas is pretty much nothing.
Right.
2013, 14 games and 65 receptions, 788 yards, 12 touchdowns.
Upside.
Which is, you know, I guess that would be around maybe average for tight end.
Okay.
Something like that. And then you have 2014, 13 games, 10 started, 43 receptions, 489 yards. And the thing that's going to maybe get him paid, because he is, I guess, a red zone threat, is for both seasons, he has 12 touchdowns.
Right. Well, and he's not just a red zone threat, too, but I'm glad you mentioned the touchdown specifically. I mean,
11.4 yards per average. It's like,
You know, I mean, from the tight end spot, it's not terrible.
Right. I was about to say, for a tight end spot, it's pretty damn good.
Yeah. I expect better.
Well, you know, I'm just saying that's how Vernon Davis began to get famous, was scoring more touchdowns mostly, more than the catches, right?
Mm-hmm.
And not to say, go
is
ahead.
That possible? Score more touchdowns than catches?
Touchdowns and catches. Yes. Yes, it is. Statistically, it is. I'm not saying it's going to happen, but statistically it is. Because, like, what if he gets a tight end screen? Or not a screen, I'm sorry, tight end reverse. Or picks
end
up a fumble.
End around.
If he played for the Chiefs, he'd pick up a fumble and score. Because no wide receiver could get a touchdown in Kansas City. Oh, yeah, back on that again. What? Okay.
Well, Julius Thomas is not a receiver, so he'd still score in Kansas City anyway.
Oh. Yeah, but see, but it would be without a catch. That's what I'm trying to tell you. Anyway.
or like, was it Dustin Keller that caught one when he was on his back off of a tip or something?
That was
like
ridiculous.
In the end zone?
I mean, that's still a catch, though, but that was ridiculous. No, but, I mean, bringing it back to Julius Thomas, a couple things I think of in a scenario. Like, for example, what if, because the Seahawks have excellent cap space. It's not going to happen because they got other stuff they got to take care of. But the tight end spot, not exactly a great thing there in Seattle. I mean, okay.
And anything outside the tackles in Seattle isn't all that great up there on the offensive side of the ball.
Okay, fair enough. So, but yeah, I don't think that's going to happen. That's just something that comes to mind, you know. I mean, I don't think he's going to jump to the Raiders, certainly not within the division. And I don't think he's going to jump to the Jags, regardless of the money thrown at him. I don't think it'd be a smart move. That being said, he signs a 5-year deal. Peyton Manning retires in the next 2 years. Then he's stuck with what? That production's going to go down once he's away from Peyton Manning. That's just a suspicion I have. I don't know. I mean, what if the Packers come calling? Just throwing it out there. Brandon Bostic no longer a factor.
Oops.
That's so cruel. I shouldn't do that. Anyways, but yeah, Demaryius Thomas getting the franchise tag. I mean, from that receiver spot, it's no shock. They're going to be trying to keep Emmanuel Sanders because he did make a difference. Julius Thomas is going to need money. He could leave if they can't wrap that up. But they at the very least need Demaryius Thomas to make a difference there too. I mean, Peyton Manning, it's hard to say if it's a good or a bad thing he's coming back. I don't know that he can make it 16 games. That's kind of my question. You know.
What really big problems did he have last season?
Well, it's the injury thing, you know.
The undisclosed hamstring issue.
Right. So it's at the point now where everyone's figured out make Peyton move, and you win, right? Regardless, even if he doesn't have a hamstring injury, right? Make Peyton move, and you're going to win. Now, what's the main problem with that? Not everybody has the personnel to make that happen, right? Not everybody's going to have the personnel to man up on Demaryius Thomas, Julius Thomas, Emmanuel Sanders, and oh, by the way, still be able to stop the run with C.J. Anderson, who Weasel has declared on this show that is quite legit, right? So I think it's having a balanced defense that's a problem. There's not many teams that can claim that. You know, yeah, we'll leave that at that. So next up on the list.
Can we go back with Demaryius Thomas real quick, though,
yeah,
with the Broncos and everything?
Yeah.
Wes Welker is also a free agent there. What does the Broncos do?
Pop quiz. Should Wes Welker retire, Weasel?
If he's not like having any lingering injuries type thing, he should stay in the NFL.
Chris.
I say yes, he should retire.
I'm with you there too, because we're seeing the lingering effects. How many games did he miss this year alone? How many concussions has he suffered in the past few seasons? Those numbers ain't looking good. And, of course, if he keeps trying to play, then people want to bitch at the NFL. But I digress.
And technically, he has the Super Bowl ring, right?
He does have his ring already.
So
that's true.
I think that could be one of the big reasons.
Actually, wait. Or does he?
Yeah, no, he does.
He does?
Wait. No, he doesn't.
Yeah.
Does he cut?
Because he dropped that ball against the Giants.
He dropped the ball against the Giants.
He dropped the ball. It was a bad throw ball.
It was a little of both. I say 60-40 in favor of Brady. Right. But...
no, yeah, he doesn't have
and
a
ring. And then
he
didn't win the other Super Bowl.
No, because he wasn't there yet.
Right, so, I don't think he has a ring.
Ah, I got you. I got to know. Yeah. I was thinking the time when he was with the Patriots, but and I connected that to Patriots today.
Yes.
So,
no,
yeah.
That's okay, dude. I can't front
him. No, he joined the Patriots in 2006.
Yeah.
God, was it that long ago?
Is it?
Could have been. I don't know. I'd have to look that up at this point. It's been that long. Because I know we were talking about him as Wes the Secret Weapon Welker a while back. I'm just saying. But, yeah. I mean, at this point, if I'm Wes Welker and I got all this money, I'm very worried about the prospect of my future today. I'm just saying. You know, but what do I know? I'm not playing in the NFL. Anyways, next on the list, gentlemen, Jason Pierre-Paul of the New York Giants. Look, Chris, I'm going to throw it to you first. When I say to you defensive threats on the Giants squad, do you have anybody that you would mention to me?
Just JPP.
Okay, that's kind of what I'm getting.
That's it. There's really no one else there. I mean, no one else is scary on that defense.
I mean, because Ubaniro is a Falcon now, right. Even if he was still relevant because he was aging.
Right.
Justin Tuck's a Raider now, which is very interesting.
Money.
Well, of course, but I mean, you know, the linebacking core is still not that amazing because name me the last time the linebacking core of the Giants was truly amazing.
In 1990 when they won the Lawrence Taylor, Carl Banks.
Exactly. You got to go back to Lawrence Taylor. There you go. And then Prince Amukamara, it might be the next most notable guy on that defense who half the time is missing due to injury.
Yeah, no, so, I'd go with safety with I can't even think of his name. That's Sal Gritty. Stevie Brown.
Okay, well, you know, I'm not trying to debate, right. But see, we're debating about who the number two player might be, and he's definitely not in the defensive front. We know this much, so that's kind of where we're at with that. That offense is sputtering. It was unfortunate with what happened with Jennings in that. Am I getting that right? Rashad Jennings, right? Yes. No. Whatever. I'll figure it out in a minute. But they were starting to come around with that offense a little bit when they had a running
game.
Rashad
Jennings, right.
I was right. Okay, yes. Good. Do not question yourself, Mike. You are a student of the game. Why do you hate? No, but when it comes down to it, they're still figuring the offense out. They need somebody on defense to make a difference. Pass rushing makes a difference. Yada, yada, yada. JPP's the only guy they got. And I think it's the same thing as Houston. They're trying to negotiate that longer-term deal, and they're trying to assure that they're the only team doing it.
And they finally gave up on the Kiwanuka.
Yeah.
Because they released him. They finally gave up on that project.
Yeah. I never felt like he was bad, but...
He was just out of position. I mean, he's defensive end, but he was an undersized defensive end, so they had him at linebacker, and just that's just not where his natural playing was.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it was going downhill that one time where he thought... He had to stop tackling Vince Young, and they scored, and it was just down fair. Hey, I don't know. That was his rookie year, and, well, that's an unfortunate moment. It's just not fun all the way around. I don't know. Right, so before we go to the next free agent, because he's going to be taking up a lot of the back half of the show, there's somebody who wasn't a free agent, who escaped the free agent tag, I should say. That's a very interesting concept, and, of course, I'm referring to Ndamukong Suh. We're talking before the show... Where Weasel very astutely pointed out that now since Ndamukong Suh was not franchise tag, Detroit could find themselves being told, "No Suh for you." So there you go.
Good stuff.
I got you. Of course it's good stuff. You came up with it, right?
Duh.
Duh. Weasel.
Yeah, boy.
At any rate, so it's very interesting. Ndamukong Suh and the places he may go, there's a lot of speculation there. I had to chuckle a little bit when somebody mentioned that the Redskins could be a stopping point for Ndamukong Suh. Because I know everybody remembers the whole Albert Haynesworth thing.
What, yeah. He was starring in a musical called Stomp?
Wow. Stick to No Suh for you, dude. Wow.
Chirp, 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 chirp.
I don't know if you mean Haynesworth or Suh because they could have been co-starring. That's why that joke wasn't funny. It was confusing.
Man, I was sitting confused then.
No, but you see, and
the musical Stomp uses drums and hands, and they don't use their feet.
They get a little. Anyways, we're talking about musicals. God, yeah, this is why February sucks. Yeah. Talking about musicals
we're
March and a damn now. Football show.
Or March now.
Yeah, well, technically it's March. It doesn't change my answer. Anyway, so Ndamukong Suh, I mean, you know what? Let's just go to it. Chris, I'll ask you first. Ndamukong Suh, place he should go. I guess I'm pop quizzing. Boom. Oh, I didn't get to study. Damn it.
Places where he should go.
I mean,
for him, I'd still see, even though they didn't get tagged, try to make a deal out with the Lions.
You think you should stay with the Lions? Yeah. Okay, Weasel.
Can he play in a 3-4, like as I guess it would be nose tackle?
See, I was thinking about this on the car on the way home, that he was going to ask this question. That's funny to me. I would say he could do both, but I think he'd be better in a 4-3 system.
Right.
Yeah, so, but best thing for him, I mean, he'll get paid if he just stays with the Lions.
I think he should play with the Vikings. I totally thought you were going to say that.
I thought he was going to go Steelers.
You know, that, oh, wow.
That's what I thought he was going with.
Actually, for the Steelers, it's an aging line, so.
I'm glad you corrected yourself, because that almost sounded very racist. But
second one of the day for him.
No, but, you know, I'll tell you, if the Steelers cap situation wasn't so blech, I would, wow. I'll get back to you on that, because, again, the cap is the problem there, but I'll get back to you on that. Sue as a Raider, personality-wise, makes sense.
Money.
True. And the money factor. I don't think Sue perceives himself as a bad boy, so I don't think that's going to work. Sue could get paid in Jacksonville.
He doesn't, like, for that whole situation with Rodgers' ankle and stuff, he doesn't really take responsibility for, like,
pretty much
anything.
No, he
does. He's got an excuse.
Right. No, he does. Yeah.
So.
My foot was numb. Anyways. He could go to Jacksonville.
That'd be very intriguing.
I don't think the Jags should pursue him. That's not really a need.
Right, because their defense front four is actually pretty good.
I mean, they have former Seahawks. They call it Seahawks South. Their penetration was good, giggity. Right. I don't see the need there.
Right.
I don't know.
Atlanta's a good place for him.
Atlanta's very intriguing.
You can get money there, I think.
When's the last time the Falcons had an intriguing player on the defensive line? And no one,
John Abraham.
I was going to say Johnny Abraham. Good call.
And he came from the Jets.
That he did. Off the knee injury thing, blah, blah, blah.
Right.
But, wow. Would Arthur Blank pull that trigger? Because he's a pretty, you know, he's into, I mean, Vic wasn't his fault, but he's usually into character guys. And I don't know that we can call Ndamukong Suh that. I don't know. That's, you know. And we talked a little bit about him in Seattle already. I don't think that's going to happen. I know that the 49ers are talking to Darnell Dockett. But would they take Ndamukong Suh? I don't think they have the cap space for that. So, I mean, as we're walking through it, we're, Ndamukong Suh in Cleveland. I don't think he'd go, but that would make that defense even more nasty. That's a pretty badass defense. Not for nothing. Anyways, there's one more guy on the who is on the franchise tag list, and that, of course, is the Cowboys' Dez Bryant. Now, here's what I noticed, and we've talked about this occasionally on the show already, Weasel. But they got Romo, who's locked into his contract, which is not favorable for a guy with, you know, his back issues. They got a good offensive line now. That's all great. Then you have DeMarco Murray, who's coming into his own. He's starting to get to the prime of his career as a runner. And then you have Dez Bryant, who has a franchise receiver capacity. Now, and I don't think you're wrong, but Weasel is convinced that DeMarco Murray is, how you say, out like Clay Aiken when it comes to the Cowboys. Don't necessarily think you're wrong. I think there's a good chance he would leave.
He at least has an opportunity to get a larger contract.
True.
An actual long-term contract because of Bryant's franchising.
And I was exactly what I was going to say. That, the Bryant's franchising is evidence of that. But here's where I am. And again, the move of franchising a guy so you don't have to compete with other teams is a good thing. But if you have the Cowboys offensive line, do you need to be picky with your running back?
That's the whole question in the NFL, because it's not just Dallas thinking about this. You don't have a lot of running backs that are getting, you know, those big bucks, because if you have a system of two backs and stuff, that can, you know, for a lot of teams they're having success with it.
Right.
But paying that running back, kind of like, you know, paying like Adrian Peterson, you only have those elite guys that, you know, can get that money. So,
and other than Peterson and Lynch, who would really command that in this league?
Well, Ray Rice used to. And I would say Forte is a top 10 person.
Lynch is
getting up there in age, but he still is, you know, he still is a very good player. And Jamal Charles, definitely.
Jamal Charles is a good call.
Yeah.
I don't know that he's a free agent, but that's a good call.
He's one of the top in the NFL, so.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I don't know that DeMarco Murray commands that either. That's where I'm at.
Adrian Peterson.
Yeah, I know.
To the Cowboys.
I don't even want to get into that yet. I don't know. You know what? Dez Bryant's been franchised, but that's not the biggest news about him in the past week. And we'll get more into that just shortly after the break. See, I made the Clay Aiken drop, and then I talked like Ryan Seacrest, and they're both, well, they're not both out, but you know what I mean. Shut up. Here's the break. Look, judge me all you want. Maybe it's ego. We've been over this. That song always makes me happy when I hear it. And yeah, that's just where I live. I'm sorry. Anyways, this is the Student of the Game on NGSC Sports Course. I'm Kyle Nash, the Student of the Game, here with Stephen Weasel Hurley. Weasel Wiz!
Yeah, boy.
And of course, Chris Rankin, bringing you your every football need this franchise tag deadline in 2015. Going through a lot of the big ones. We talked about the Cowboys and Dez Bryant a little bit. Long story short, guys, I think something that may have influenced the decision to franchise Dez Bryant instead of signing him to a long-term deal may have actually just come in the past couple weeks here. And, of course, I'm referring to the Dez Bryant video. What's this you say? You've not seen this video. Of course you haven't. Because it technically hasn't been released yet. I don't know. Matter of fact, we're not even sure if it exists yet.
It's terrible.
Weasel, walk me through it.
Okay, so recently, this whole, why are we talking about Dez Bryant? Something that happened about, what, 3-4 years ago? Why are we doing this? July 2011. And you have a guy that's, I guess he was in Pro Football Talk. I believe he was the founder.
Oh, you mean one, Mike Florio.
Mike Florio.
Quality,
yes.
Journalism at its finest, if you like it yellow.
So
anyways,
he pretty much, he was asked a question. It was 105.3 The Fan in Dallas. And he was asked about Brian being, I guess, you know, what's going on with Brian. Is he going to be franchised? That was the question. But he ends up saying, well, I'm actually investigating something on Dez Bryant. There's a video that exists and stuff like that, and it's like that's what started the fire to all over the internet.
Uh-oh, Weasel, you just went 80s claiming we didn't start the fire.
I am, yeah. And you could see how he kind of looks at it is by one of his quotes in that it's one of the, I guess I would say, best kept secrets in the media. Because no one's reported it yet. So he's seeing himself as, like, you know, one of the first ones. You always want to be first when you're in the media, when you're a journalist.
When you're Mike Florio, you want to be first. Do not call that guy a journalist, because it ain't true.
Yeah. So he brings this out, and no matter how, but if Dez Bryant is completely innocent of this, you're going to have half the people that know, the rest of the half of the NFL are still going to think he's, you know, he's guilty of that. So, the whole thing about what happened at this Walmart parking lot. So it pretty much comes down to that.
Well, see, you made a leap right there. So the video itself, which no one's seen, it's not been released, is Well, tell them what's allegedly in the video and then kind of break it down from there, Weasel.
Well, people think there's a possibility that there's more than one video. Now, the main video that people are talking about...
So wait a minute. So we don't even know if there's a video, but there could be more than one as well.
Yeah.
I'm just saying.
Well, it's like... So, an incident happened where a Walmart person saw a gentleman carrying out, I think it was maybe carrying, I've heard, dragging a unconscious woman out of the car.
A quote-quote unidentified male.
Yes.
Dragging a quote-quote unidentified female. You right. can't see air quotes on the air, so that's why we're doing quote-quote.
So,
yeah.
That is what I think as witnesses, you know, or like people in the video, that's what they say that supposedly is happening there.
That's what's in the police report.
What's in the police report, yeah. And so, essentially, two men, the car is registered to Des Bryant. It was two guys, Carl King and Christopher Mitchell.
Yeah, we don't need who? Yeah, we don't need to release all the names, but
allegedly,
according to an officer, you know, at the scene.
So, yeah, they're gonna grab the car and stuff, and then you have good old Des Bryant that comes in with the Bentley, and so he drives up. He's with. So
let's clear it up a little bit because you're jumping around a bit. Because a lot happened here. This isn't your fault. But so there's a woman dragged from or into a car that's registered to Des Bryant. That's the link, right?
Right.
And then at the scene, when an officer's on the scene, he gets there. The car door's open and there's some sort of a child toy on the ground by the car. And then two guys roll up in an Escalade or something. And the cop engages them. He talks to them in the report. Then later, while the cop's talking to them, Des rolls up in another car, a Beamer. I have to say it like that. I know that sounds white as hell, but a Beamer. And with the unidentified, well, no longer unidentified because she's identified in the police report, but she alleges, while Brian's in the car there, that Des Bryant wasn't even involved and even identifies her alleged attacker as not Des Bryant, but somebody else. So, I don't know. Does that pretty much sum it up?
Well, I think that's pretty good.
Fill in the
blanks,
baby.
So, Des Bryant arrives with quote-unquote, if she's a victim or not. It's
the alleged victim.
Alleged victim, that's better. It's Eileen... Nash, it sounds like. So, pretty much they come back and she called up those friends to pick up the car, the Escalade, because I think it was the Mercedes.
Yeah, her car was the Mercedes.
Car was the Mercedes. So she got dropped over at a friend's house, and then friends were supposed to pick it up, but for some reason
was trying to get away from the scene.
Well, they took her to a house, and then she comes back with Des Bryant.
Right.
And that's where the officers were. And then it's kind of weird. She's saying that they had an argument with the guy. His name was allegedly Alex.
Alex Pinson is the guy named in the police report. That's how we'll put it.
And the thing about it is that you have pretty much all of the people that are involved with it there with the cop. You have the alleged victim who... They didn't notice any scars, bruises, or anything like that.
Moreover, the victim herself says she's fine. She's not hurt, any of that.
Yeah, so she's coming back, and people want to see the video.
Uh-huh.
Because what it comes down to is, why was this person unconscious if they come out with a Walmart video?
And when you say a Walmart video, like, it would be a video
most
of
likely
the parking
surveillance.
Lot. Yeah, exactly.
And so... It's just the thing that kind of irks me is that guys like, you know, Mike Florio, he's almost sure that the video is going to come out. But there's the thing that's there may be no video. Now, Adam Schefter, he comes along. It was about a week later. And
After Florio.
And he pretty much... I think he was talking to them, they were talking about Dez Bryant, and they asked him about it, and he's like, he said, you know, I can't say anything about it, but, and someone asked, do you know what's on the tape? And he says, yes. And then, of course, he the next question is, have you seen the tape? No.
No.
It's like, okay. And so the thing is that Florio, because of his, he let the cat out of the bag, supposedly, like with the media.
Well, right. And there were whispers back since September of last year, but nothing of anyone saying, hey, this is here. Right?
Yeah. So he got blasted by the media, like on ESPN.
Dez got blasted?
No.
Who got
Florio.
Blasted? Florio got blasted.
Florio got blasted, okay. Because he pretty much, without any shreds of evidence at all, he pretty much makes a big allegation against a player that's, you know, trying to get a long-term contract. And what I think with the media is that pretty much a lot of it is, hey, if I'm first, great. If I messed up, oh well. Because I think in like the media, and there's cases.
Make sure you say mainstream media, because technically we're the media too.
That's true.
Not
that's
for
true.
Nothing, but the lamestream mania tends to do X. Whereas, you know, we try to, I know we, all three of us on this show, try to make a point to swallow and what's going on and digest a story first, right? You know, but anyways, go ahead.
So what it all comes down to is that you have Schefter, who's this, he's like the man for getting rumors and stuff like that.
He and Chris Mortensen at ESPN, they're there outside the line.
So he's a very, I would say, a quote unquote, reliable person to get your, to get your story from. Yet he's pretty much like, yeah, there could be. I've been working a lot on this story since September.
Yeah.
And it's like, yeah, okay. So you seen the video? No. And
but I've been working hard as hell.
It's like, what have you been working on then? Because he's trying to get everything together, and what he doesn't understand is that he's trying to, you know, get the facts and all that stuff while bringing more more attention to the story. Through bringing like a, it kind of sounded like someone told him what is on the video, so he took that as truth. And it's like Dez Bryant is all in the back of this, and it's people on the internet. You can,
it's,
you know,
already
there's
starting.
So much things, and he was like, I think it's just that the media has, there's no accountability for news or for the mainstream media. That if something's wrong, it's one thing to mess up a news story, but you guys are messing with someone's life here.
Yeah.
And this could have ruined him if it's, you know, if the video's out, if it even exists. I mean, it could really damage him. But the thing is that what if a video's not, there was no video, what do you go from here?
Oh, well, I mean, if there is no video, eventually the story dies and nothing happens. But what we know for a fact is it could have very directly affected Dez Bryant's negotiation for a long-term contract.
Oh, yeah.
Now, granted, I'm not crying for any NFL player, and who knows, if he plays well and doesn't get hurt, you know, then he could still negotiate and get that contract later. But let's take the video doesn't exist thing off the table, because obviously if that's true, that's really bad and stupid, okay? Let's say there is a video. It comes out. It indeed matches the story that's in the police report from the alleged victim, this Alex Pinson cat or whatever who's named, right?
They just had an argument.
Quote, quote.
Yes.
And let's say that's all true. Or let's say even that she is battered, but not by Dez. And all he's doing in this is actually being helpful to take her to her car to pick it up and all that other kind of stuff and be supportive of someone who's a friend of hers. I don't claim to know their relationship. I don't care to know. But then, after all that comes out, during the next season, God forbid, I'm not even a Cowboys fan, but I wish this on no player, he gets hurt in this season. Now,
big contract.
Exactly. We live in a world where Joe Flacco has a big contract. Matt Stafford has a big contract. But among the top receivers in the game, does not. Why? Because of Florio, lamestream media, Schefter. I mean, who can you really... I'm going to say the main lamestream media in general with this whole, and I think you put it best, we all have seen it happen before, fast is better than right attitude. Weasel.
So, there was a ESPN inside Adam Schefter did go on, he had a radio appearance with Carmen and Juco, ESPN 100 in Chicago. So I'll go through a little bit.
I don't know if it's answer, Jericho or Jericho, but whatever.
Something like that. So you have Carmen and Jericho. They ask, have you ever heard about this video? Do you know what's in it? Adam Schefter says, yeah. Have you seen it? Schefter says, I have not seen it. And he says, I'll say this. I've been working on this since September. And then they asked if he's a criminal. And he said, like I said, I've been working on it since September. There's a lot involved. And I'll just say one more thing. That the last thing I think Schefter said was, well, listen, whatever we've been working on is not ready and maybe never will be. Who knows? You've got to be very careful in these things. People can talk about videos. They can talk about this and that. The fact of the matter is, it doesn't mean anything, and it's not really fair to him right now until you have all your facts in line. This is the guy that just said that he's been working on this since September,
right?
Which I don't think he needed to even mention.
Right.
It's the kind of thing that he's the NFL insider.
Well, but
I just don't like how he's saying, oh, no, but it's it may not exist type of thing. And it's like he's bringing light to it without any evidence. People got mad at Florio for that.
Yeah.
And Schefter just about, I think it was like the 26th or so, he comes back and then he's like, oh, we're working on it, but he didn't bring anything to the table about it. So.
Well, and I'll say this about that. First of all, Schefter is far less culpable because at least he's acknowledging the concept. Now, if Florio has, I've not heard it yet. But at least he's acknowledging the concept that there may be nothing there and there may be nothing to release. I've been working on it since September. I can see where you're going with it, Weasel, and I'm not telling you you're wrong for your look. But now that I'm hearing the whole thing for the first, like, we talked about it a bit before the show, but now that I'm hearing the whole thing here in its entirety from you, the take I kind of have is he's letting people know, I've been working on this for a while, so I know a bit more about it than other people might. And my take is, we know nothing. And to be, look, and basically you're right. He didn't say a damn thing. He didn't.
He just,
but if there's nothing
added fuel to the fire.
I don't think so. Mm-hmm. And let me tell you why. Let me tell you where the fuel for the fire comes from. I'm getting to that. So someone asked him, is there anything? I don't know. Is there anything? I don't know. Well, is there anything? I don't know. What's one of the questions asked by, who is it, Carmen and Yurko or whatever it is? What is the guy's names again? I want to make sure I get it right. So, just, you know, for solidarity.
Carmen and Jurko.
Well, I think J-U-R-K-O. Yurko. Yeah, no, I know that spell. Yurko I've heard of. He used to be on with Yurko and Harry. Used to be his show. They used to have it on ESPN Podcast, the Pod Center and all that. But Carmen and Yurko, okay, fine. One of the questions you have in there is he a criminal? What the hell is that? All right, can we stop for 30 seconds on that, guys? We're back to that place. Look, it was bad enough when you're trying to make the NFL judge and jury for domestic violence issues. What the shit is that? It is not a place for Adam Schefter to decide legality. And he answers appropriately. He says, well, I forget exactly what he says, Weasel, you said it earlier, and if somebody wants to hear it more precisely, they can back up the player a little bit. But it's a situation where you're looking for Adam Schefter to be a lawyer. Maybe he used to be a lawyer. I don't know. I know Eric Kusilius, for example, is a former lawyer. There's a lot of guys in the business who appear to be former lawyers. I don't know how that works, but they ask him what is essentially a legal question. At the best case scenario, worst case scenario is they're looking to get him to bite on something. You know, I don't know. Chris, you have a way on any of
this? No, I was just saying what you were talking about with the lawyers and everything. Like a lot of these people that used to be lawyers, because that's what they used to be, scouts, and that's what the main thing with scouts and agents and everything like that.
Oh, true.
They wanted them as lawyers for the legal aspect of it.
That's a good point.
So most of those guys with the backgrounds of lawyers came from that background.
Sports and entertainment law, right?
Right, yeah.
I never thought of that. That's okay, here. I learned my thing for today. But I don't... And Weasel, not again, you ain't wrong, because there's plenty of culpability from the lamestream media side. But is he a criminal? Why? Look, hey, not for nothing. I'll give Des Bryant his due. He doesn't exactly have a sterling reputation, but he's starting to turn it around. Even on NGSE Sports website, Tuan Staley, I think about a month ago, month and a half, had a piece about how Des Bryant was turning his life around and all that. And this guy's trying to do that, but then you got some moron out in Chicago radio, Carmen and Yurko. Is he a criminal? What is that? I don't know. Weasel, you're about to say something. I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
No, I just remembered something.
I just wrapped up. Okay, well,
isn't this incident and everything 2 years old also?
Well, actually more than two, right? If it's July of 2011.
Right, so yeah.
It's three and a half.
Right. I didn't get the date on it, but I know it was like more than 2 years ago.
Yeah. So. What do you got, Weasel?
Okay, so one thing I found, you've heard that a lot of the media sources, they've been saying...
the lamestream media.
From someone who has seen it, that it's five times worse than the Ray Rice video. And they're talking about the quote-unquote video out there. You know where that came from? Because I've seen it referenced in a lot of places. Hmm. Well, actually, it came from a blog post from Therese, that's T-E-R-E-Z, Owens.com, and nobody else. Everyone, that's where they got that little quote from.
You know, I almost wish you hadn't dropped their name because I ain't trying to give it pub either. No offense.
It's the thing about it is that that's pretty terrible, is that people are using that as a source, and website advertises itself as the number one world's most popular sports gossip blog. So
that's what it is, gossip.
Yep. Look,
I know we live in a world where you got to fill the topics and you got to try to come up with something to talk about every single day. So that's why people are stuck talking about LeBron James tweets and crap like that. I understand that. But, I mean, can we... Because dignity, people, I don't know. I got to tell you, as somebody who's involved as heavily as I am with this network, that we don't end up in that place. On this show, at least. Wow. You can't do that now. I mean, I'm glad I haven't had dinner yet, because now I feel all sick and stuff. And I'm trying to be funny and light, and then you get all heavy. Why are you trying to make a difference, Weasel? What's wrong with you?
It's just something that I read about, and I was like, hey, wait a second.
I mean...
That's kind of messed up.
Yeah, I agree with you, man. I agree with you 100%. So, anyways, let's go ahead and wrap up that part for a moment. Good job, by the way, Weasel, in your coverage of that. I read something today, and a lot of people probably did. Thoughts on Marshawn Lynch and that final Super Bowl play, and his thinking. He even thought that he was going to get the ball. But then he turns around and said, I don't mind the play call. I just thought I was going to get the ball. It's a good answer, but yeah. I'm not shocked to hear. You know what I mean? I mean, it's one of those situations, again, and I hate to harp on this, based on the moment and all that, probably one of the worst play calls ever. But I got to give, first of all, the fact that he commented on it is huge already, because this is the guy that just doesn't want to get fined, right? I'm surprised there's not an online remix of that, by the way. Yeah. Where's your dude, DJ Steve Porter? He needs to be on that. I mean, he's coming up with the Tebow thing. Where's the, just don't want to get fined.
He could be working on it.
He's going to be working on it.
The guy's talented.
I don't know. Chris, you got something?
No, I was just, I'm looking up right now because I remember a few weeks ago, right after Super Bowl, I was listening and they were talking about pass play on second and goal.
Yes.
From like the one.
Yes.
It was attempted 110 times in the NFL during the year.
Huh.
Second and goal?
Yeah, second and goal. A pass play, 110 times. And it was either 60 or 30%, remember, like 38% or 62%. I don't remember what it was. Success rate? I don't remember which way it was, like
38%. Well, it's 38%. Either good or it either
right,
sucks.
No, right, it's one or the other. But that...
Is there a middle ground?
Right, that's what I was looking up. It was either, you know... 62% of the time it didn't work, or 62% of the time it did work. But that was the very first interception from that play of the whole NFL season.
That's 110 times. It's the first time there's a pick. Correct. That in itself is a significant stat.
I think the thing about that, the guy who intercepted the ball, he was an undrafted rookie, right?
Butler, yes.
The thing is he pretty much, I think he read the play.
He did. He attributed it to film study.
Yeah, huge thing for a rookie like that to do that. But it's just Pete Carroll, I think if they did win that Super Bowl, of course, I think he'd be looked at as one of the best coaches in the NFL, possibly building a dynasty.
Well, yeah. I mean, anybody who wins back-to-back Super Bowls should be seen as possibly building a dynasty. Yeah, that's just fair.
Fairly, young core of guys out there that, I mean, top defense, but one play. And people say, and I don't really disagree, that he made the worst play call in history. Ever.
Well, you want to talk about just one play. What if that pass interference is called against the Ravens with the 49ers in 2012, for example?
Yep. It's a lot of...
What if Jacoby Jones doesn't return that back for a touchdown? What if the lights don't go out and give... I mean, there's so many moments like that. I mean, Chris pointed it out. What if the Seahawks don't take their foot off the gas and stop stunt blitzing Brady? What if Edelman actually catches that first stab route, and the game is not even close, because then now he has two touchdowns on that corner? You know, I mean, there's a lot of things in that particular game. It's easy to point out a lot of single moments that could have made a difference. Obviously, that last one is the hugest.
Hey, Chris. Here, I got the stats now. So, like we're talking about with the Seahawks should have ran the ball in the past five seasons, including the playoffs. Teams on the opponent 1 yard line ran the ball 71% of the plays. Scored 54% of the time. Scored a touchdown 54% of the time. But Russell Wilson's pass was the 109th pass attempt from the 1 yard line for that season. It was the first one to be picked off. In the past 10 seasons, including the playoffs, quarterbacks have thrown 270 passes on second down from the opponent's one. They combined for 129 touchdowns and just 5 interceptions. In the past 10 seasons, it's almost 50% of the time is a touchdown on second and one, and there was only 5 interceptions out of 270 attempts.
Russell Wilson stinks. That's why.
Oh no! I had nothing to do with that.
Yeah, my Twitter handle is.
And yes, if you disagree with that, that is at Weasel the SOTG. If you want to harass him via Chris or myself, at Rankin the SOTG, at the SOTG is, of course, my Twitter handle. We are running out of time, but go ahead.
Okay, no, real quick. The
no
stat.
Rush. We got 2 minutes.
With Lynch, though, it said with him running the ball from the 1 yard line, he scored a touchdown on 1 of 5 rushes from the 1 yard line this year.
Hmm. 1 of 5. Huh.
The difference being they weren't playing the Patriots.
It wasn't the Super Bowl.
It wasn't the Super Bowl. And it wasn't a situation where that O-line had it figured out as long as you double-team Vince Wilfork. I don't care how good you think Rob Ninkovich is. Give me Lynch and Ninkovich one-on-one. Come on. Okay, let's say he makes the tackle the first time. He's not going to do it 3. Stop it.
Previous play was about... He had a 5-yard run gain.
Yeah, right? He had already bashed people senseless and damn near got in there himself.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, man. I just don't know. Anyways, enough about that. I just wanted to comment that even Marshawn Lynch commenting on anything like that, interesting.
Well,
just because.
He didn't throw any blame on anyone, which is, you know.
Well, I mean, hey, he has an element of classy. I think he's actually trying to make a statement. Though I don't necessarily agree with it, I think he's trying to make a statement with the whole, I just don't want to get fined. I mean, look, at the end of the day, give the fans their lip service. They're the ones paying your salary. All right? I'm just trying to tell you. They deserve that. You know. Anyways, I don't know. It's going to be interesting with his back issues if Marshawn Lynch will even be back. I don't know. If he's not, that'll be a very interesting discussion we can have on next week's edition of... The student of the game. Of course, until next time, I am Kyle Nash, the student of the game. Steven Weasel Hurley. Weasel.
Yeah, boy.
At Weasel the SOTG. Chris Rankin. At Rankin the SOTG. Of course, I am at the SOTG myself. But until next time, everybody, class dismissed.